men that understand the workings of the Holy Ghost have the capacity to change conditions. The capacity to change condition, it's a kingdom entrustment. You can't gain the kingdom if it is not a priority.
Yes, this is the kingdom message. Get ready and fasten your seatbelt as the servant of God, the lead pastor of KDC Love and Mercy Church, Pastor Stephen Enoku, drives us through the mysteries of the Word of God. Be blessed as you listen.
Every name, 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth, verse 11, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Let's read verse 9 together, once again, verse 9. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him, giving him the name which is above every name. Now, a longer reading now, 1 Samuel 15. It's going to be long, really, really long. Just reading that verse of the Bible sends a lot of light and lessons. First Samuel 15. Everybody, want you to open your Bible. You're going to be reading it from your Bible now. First Samuel 15. So, but if you don't have one, you can follow the screen or listen as I read. I'm going to be reading the whole of that chapter. There's a story there that is so graphical. Trust the Lord will bless our hearts through it. Now, let's read together. One, two, read, everybody. Samuel also said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, heed the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek, not only destroy all that they have, do not spare them." Please take note of that word. "But kill both man and woman, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey." So Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Tel Ahim, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men of Judah. Please take note of that. 200,000. And then 10,000 men. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and lay in wait in the valley. Verse 6. Then Saul said to the Kenites, "Go, depart, get down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt." So the Kenites depart from among the Amalekites. And Saul attacked the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Shur, which is east of Egypt. He also took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But, now look at the but. Please take note of the but. Remember the instruction. The first statement that Prophet Samuel made to Saul was to what? Take heed to what God was going to tell him. But see what happened here. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and were unwilling, totally destroy them. But everything despised and worthless, that they utterly destroy. Now wait, go back up to verse 3. Up. Now, go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have. Did you see the instruction? Now, what did we see in verse 11? Verse 10 and 11. 10. Let's start from 10. Now, go back to 9. Sorry. 9. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatling, the lambs, and all that was good, and we are unwilling to totally destroy them. But everything despised and worthless, that they utterly destroyed. Now let's read verse 10. Now, the word of the Lord came to Samuel, saying, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. Verse 12. So when Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul went to Carmel, and indeed he set up a monument for himself, and he has gone on around, passed by, and gone down to Gilgal. Now wait. When I got to this portion of the Bible, I read it from 4 different translations. Do you know what Saul went to do? When he returned from the battle, he went to set up a what? A monument, a pillar. I have done well. You see there? The Bible took something. He said, he set up for himself a monument or trophy of his victory. His victory. Amen. Did you get that? Let's go back to New King James, verse 13. Then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed are you, the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Next verse. But Samuel said, what then is this bleeding of sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? Verse 15. Make it faster now. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekite. Now, did you see that? They. Were they the ones that got the instructions? No. They have what? Brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Are you seeing the way the statement is coming? You know, I like the way I read Bible. Maybe you don't read Bible like that. Did you see the way the statement is coming? You can see the young man shifting the blame. When it got to utterly destroy, he did not use they. He used what? But when he got to sparing the sheep, what did he use? okay. You are a good student. Good. That's good. Now, let's read on. He said, then Samuel said to Saul, be quiet. He should be quiet and listen to himself. And I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. And he said, speak on. So Samuel said, when you were little, what did I tell you humility is? Lowliness in your eyes of low significance. So, the reason God took Saul was because of his what? Humility. So Samuel told him, he said, when you were little in your eyes, were you not head of the tribe of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? In other words, God raises up the what? The humble. Did you see that now? Now let's read on. Now verse 18. Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? 20. And Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission which the Lord has sent me and brought back Agag, king of Amalek, and I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Now see the next thing. But the people took of the oxen, took of the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice to the Lord your God. You see the way this man is responding. I mean, you are blaming me for doing something that will benefit your God. Scriptures are profound. I mean, just reading through scriptures sometimes, we just ask God for help. I mean, look at the statement. These statements were well crafted out. Do you see that? It is said, the Lord our God. I mean, why should you blame me from sparing good things from the Lord? He said, but look at what he said. But Samuel said, as the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and what? And sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord. He said, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. See the next thing he said. He said, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as an iniquity and idolatry. Samuel finished work for you. I mean, he finished work. He looked into Saul's heart and was speaking to Saul's heart. You know what rebellion means? Rebellion is a higher dimension of disobedience. I mean, when you disobey and justify your disobedience to the one that gave you the instruction, it's called what? Rebellion. So all Samuel did was to say, that's what? Witchcraft. And then stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. He said, because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also what? Rejected you from being king. Let's read on. Verse 24. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for you have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obey their voice. Now, good admittance, but let's see the attitude. Let's see the attitude. Verse 25. He said, now, therefore, pardon my iniquity and return with me. So, he was not asking for mercy because he knew he was wrong. He was asking for mercy so that Samuel will honor him before the people. Pride. He was not saying sorry for the fact that he was sorry. He was saying sorry so he could get Samuel's favor. Now see the next thing he said. He said, now therefore, please pardon my sin. He said, now, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord. That's what Samuel said to Saul. He said, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel the second time. Now see the next thing, 27. Now, as Samuel turned around to go away, Saul seized the edge of his robe and he tore. He passed judgment on himself. He said, pride goes before. Now, Samuel said to him, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to a neighbor of yours who is better than you. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor relent, for God is not a man that he should relent. Now let's read verse 30. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, please, before the elders of my people. He valued the people more than the authority was representing. Pride. And then he said, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and return with me that I may worship the Lord your God. So Samuel turned back after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Then Samuel said, bring Agag of the Amalekite here to me. So Agag came to him cautiously, and Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. But then Samuel took the sword of Saul. Verse 33. Samuel said, as your sword had made women childless, so shall your mother be childless among women. And Samuel hacked Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Verse 34. And then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went to his house at Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel went no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord regretted that he had made Saul king over Israel. May God not regret over my lifting. May God not regret because he lifts me. May God not regret because he blessed me. May God not regret because he gave me people to lead. May God not regret because he puts his anointing over my life. May God not regret because he makes me the leader of his people. May God not regret that he gave me spirit. Father, we ask that you will cause the anointing that makes it possible for men to embrace absolute biblical humility to accompany this teaching this morning. Let the light of your spirit brood upon our heart. Let every cloak of pride fall off in the name of Jesus. Let the garment of humility be worn on us, so that for the rest of our lives, we live in obedience. Obedience to you. Obedience to the anointing. Obedience to instructions. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. You know, Saul was a man that God picked and gave him the throne. If you are very familiar with scripture, the children of Israel needed someone that would lead them like the other tribes. The Bible says Saul was a king being in appearance, in stature, in everything. Saul was high above everyone in Israel. Every time Saul showed up, you could look at him, even without using discernment, you could see that indeed, is the best to be chosen as king. But in spite of all of the build and the stature, Saul had something. Everybody say humility, as it were. I told you last time that you don't say you are humble, truly humble, until you start tasting of what is called power. As a matter of fact, if you are poor and then you say you are humble, we will not wait. We will not conclude. We will just wait. Praise God. Because in actuality, poverty has humility in it. Because when you go to a party, you just have to be quiet. Because if you break a plate, you don't have money to pay. You just have to. So the real test of a man's character is not in his obscurity. It's not in his smallness. The real test of a man's character is when he has a taste of greatness. Two things. Number one, when you become great. And then number two, when people start seeing you as great. And that's where the real you will show up. So as God bless all, God sent him to do a task. Now, truly humble people follow instructions. Let's write it down. The power that Saul had stemmed from the grace and favor he found before God. God gave him great spoils. But please allow me to say this, that humility will be tested. When I read this verse of scripture, I just felt that God was just using this assignment to test Saul's humility. Now, every one of you listening to me this morning, I want you to know this, that God's blessings are not destinations. When God blesses you, it's not a destination. The blessings of God are not destinations. And so, after God blesses you, God may set you up for a test. Now, that test will now determine the permanence or validity of that blessedness. Can I say that? In the dynamics of spiritual work, God will use responsibilities to test you. God will use opportunities to test you. And God will use blessings to test you. He will entrust in your hands things. I mean, things that you can't merit, you don't merit, to check what your disposition will be. So whenever God blesses a man, God will always send a test. Let me give you three examples in scripture. Number one was Abraham. God blessed Abraham, gave him Isaac. Holy Jesus. You see, the reason why we need to learn humility ahead of time is because if you don't yet learn humility, that's your biggest desire can bring about your falling. Let's take for example, right now your biggest desire is to own a car. And then, logically, papa, God just bless you with one. I mean, obviously it's a blessing. The posture of your heart will now determine if God will be magnanimous enough to send more or to make that one the last. May the last blessing not be the last. I said, may my next blessing not be the last. You are not responding. May my next blessing not be the last. Because you can pray for a job and then God gives you the job and then the job makes you big-headed. And God says, now this small one. Jesus called it the true riches. Just give you this one. This one not be say this one not be true. This one are just bling-bling. More just test. And then now your voice have changed. Everything about you is changing. You are the only one changing. Amen. So it's a test. So God blessed Abraham. You know, Abraham has been doing everything to get a child, including sleeping with his wife's maid. So at that level, getting a child was Abraham's biggest desires. how you handle your biggest blessings will show the state of your humility or the degree of your humility. I mean, sometimes you need something and then God opens a door. Like you need a job and then God uses somebody to give you the job, and then in that job you became very, very influential. And then the person that God used to help you get the job now come to you one day and said, do this. And then you say what? No, I can't do it. Now that no, that disobedience is powered by pride. So prideful people find it difficult to heed to instructions. So one of the dangers of pride is disobedience. Now, most times when we are talking about disobedience, most people think disobedience is not doing. In God's stead, disobedience is not doing. But not doing according to my what? Specifications. I've had opportunity to lead people. By the grace of God, we have people we are leading. And sometimes you give them instructions and then they help you modify the instructions and stray away from it. Now the truth is, submissive people know how to comply with instructions the way you say it. So one of the benefits of humility is simplicity in heeding to instructions. If you have a humble heart, to follow instruction can never be hard. In fact, humble people do not only make good subordinates, but they also become good bosses. Praise God. If you are asked, which caliber of people do you prefer to work with? Sir, which kind of people? Will you prefer to work with proud people? Now, why humble people? Now, look up. Because, for example, in an organization, the organization has a vision, the organization has a mission, and the organization has a core value. So, meaning that if I'm going to bring you into the company, you must work with the what? The vision. And the challenge with the good thing about humble people, the truth is, humble people don't actually see themselves. They see others what? More. So when you employ them in the organization, they will do better. Because they will carry the vision of the organization more. Because proud people see themselves. I mean, it was not that. You know, I like the message that God sent to Saul. There is so much to learn from that story. A lot to learn. After service today, go and read it in another translation. Now, first and foremost, it was not that Amalekites or Amalek was a threat to the children of Israel. Hello? So it was not like they just hit the bell. Boom, boom, Amalekites want to attack us. So Saul went to attack them. No. So the sending to Amalek was not a Saul initiative. You didn't hear what I said. The sending to Amalek was not Saul's initiative. Why was he modifying it? Humble people will last long in a thriving organization. They will do well there. Because they are functioning within a system that is not their what? Initiative. Reason why God wants us to be humble is because coming to the kingdom is like coming to a house that has already been what? Built. Just come and add some walls and some rooms and some designs to it. That's why you are born again. I mean, God has finished his kingdom agenda. He brought you in to function within his specifications. Please write that down. We are brought into function within the divine specifications. So that's why you will see God speaking to the prophet saying, humble yourself under the mighty hands of God. Humble yourself under the mighty hands of God. Humble yourself, humble yourself. Because what God wants to do is what he has decided to what? To do. He's only calling you in to come and be a participant, a partner in it. So it was not like Amalekites were attacking Israel. No, they had attacked Israel long ago. So that's why I think that assignment was a test. It was a test that God wanted to use to check the heart posture of King Saul. Praise God. So write this down. Whether humble or pride, whether humble or proud, the state of your heart is validated by how you handle responsibilities. Whether humble or proud, your heart state is validated by how you handle responsibilities. Believers, especially in our place of work, we must understand that daily people are looking out for this virtue in our life. When you have a boss that likes sending you messages, like giving you privileges, like entrusting things to you, it's not because he cannot do without you. Sometimes even bosses test their staff. I'm sure you know that. We just say, oh, yeah, come, I want to send you to Abuja. Even in ministry, you can just come and say, come, we are go and preach this sermon, or come, go and lead this prayer, go and manage this group of people. You'll be tested. So after God blessed Abraham with Isaac, one day, and one thing I like about when God wants to test your level of humility, the instruction is always very direct. Everybody say very direct. It's not, there's no room for ambiguity. Very direct. Now, the height of your humility is determined by how you handle direct instructions. Everybody say direct instructions. Direct. So let's see how God put it. Bring it up. Genesis chapter, is it 15 now? Have you seen it? Genesis 22. Verse 1 and 2. This is everything. The grace of the humble. Their place of permanence through riches is an entrustment to the humble. Therefore, the Lord at what? Highly what? Exalted him. But first, he must go through the test. So, now it came to pass. After these things, what are these things? God had given him a child. God has pronounced a lot of things. Changed his name from Abraham to Abraham. Great workings. God is working in your life. Some of you right now, God is doing mighty works in your life. But tell your neighbor a test is coming. It will come. Can come from your husband, your wife, your pastor, your HR. He will come. The Bible says, and after these things, God tested Abraham. He said, Abraham, he said, here am I. Meaning you did hear. Direct. Everybody say direct. This one is not vision or hurim or clear. Direct communication. Abraham responded and said what? Here am I. Now God said, look at the statement. Everybody say direct. Now he said, take now your son. One, two, your only son, Isaac. Three, whom you love, and go to the land of what? Moriah. And offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Everybody say direct. Now write this down. Truly humble people know how to pick direct instructions and note the core part of those instructions. I mean, that's one of the graces humble people enjoy. There's no ambiguity with humble people. They are not suave. They don't try to infer into a statement what you are not saying. How many of you know that proud people know how to infer into statements where you are? Wait till you know they talk, they know how they had them put. And they know how they take, they remove the one where you know put. Like, I went back to check that case of Saul. God actually did not tell him whether to kill Agag or not. Because I went back to check. But what God said was what? All. So invariably, all included what? Agag the king. So, I mean, that's what they do in law. You know, lawyers are always very proud. They call themselves learned colleagues. What lawyers do is that you can bring an agreement and they will read every word, word for word, and look for one they can use to what? Nail you. They will just pick it and say, you see this one? It's a gap in the statement. We can use this one to win our case. They are proud people. If you are a lawyer here, you are proud. Praise God. But sometimes it's good pride. Is that okay? Helper of the helpless. So humility enables you to interpret good, clearly interpret what? Statements and instruction. It makes you interpret it. Because right now, when you are humble, when somebody says something, you are not looking at it from your perspective. You are listening to the person. Is that okay? Now, that's why one of the marks of truly humble people is that they know how to listen. Pride makes listening difficult. Because sometimes if you are counseling a proud person, it may not even be that he is the one you are talking directly. The next day, the proud person will just say, do you mean I'm a liar? Do you understand? No, I'm not saying you are a liar. I'm just saying that there are times when some things happen. Do you mean something has happened to me? I didn't say something happened to you, but I'm just trying to say that in case something was, they've told you that it happened, Abby. You know, proud people just have a way of responding without listening. And that inability to listen is a problem. Glory to God. Glory to God. And then, what happened to Abraham? You all know the story. It was the obedience. No wonder, even till Jesus will come, Abraham is still referred to as the father of nations. Let me tell you something. He cemented that position on the altar of humility. Write this down. Humility makes seemingly small blessings big and permanent. Humility makes seemingly small blessings. Blessings that some people look say small. So do you know people don't like humble starts? Humble start. It's just like you come to someone and says, God has helped me. I have bought a car. Let's even go and see the car that this person buy. Remember that kind of thing? Hello? I've been there before. Proud heart is a bad heart. He's just jumping. Oh, thank God for the car. Your pastor said, I'm going to go dedicate the car. You just go down. You just see one fifth hand. Some people, maybe not in this church, but some in this church. Oh, no, okay, not in this church. You say, people, they would buy cars or go buy bang bala. You know that kind of thing. Now, pride they talk. Truly humble people celebrate your small achievements. Have humble friends around you. They celebrate your small. Wow, this car is so. Even you yourself, you know, you go to shame. Say, I want to tell them, say, this car and a new car, buy. But they just think, wow, Pastor Victor, this your car is fine. It's not you. But if you buy them, I'll dedicate them. If you have leg, but shall not stop us on the road. I'm not proud. Amen. But you get the message, actually. If you have proud friends around you, and let me tell you what they will do. They will never allow you to savor the joy of your small progresses. You just got a job and you told him, you got a job. How much did they even pay you? 25,000 naira. And they have a way they sow ingratitude into your heart. You see, I was studying something about humility. And I want to say this. He said there is something about humble people. They don't derive joy from competition. Now, humble people are not competing to be better than you. So it takes away the stress of life from them. So they now wrote something down that truly humble people live a meaningful life. Because in their closet, they are not thinking about you. You see, pride makes you think that everybody is thinking about you. But humble people, they are not making this air to be better than your air. He said something, he said, proud people are very good with competitions. And I know what I'm talking about. I'm not telling you to go and be checking your proud friends. But one of the ways to know those your friends are proud, they're always using better than. They're always doing comparison. Mama, I like you. You are not like that person. No, see, that person is proud. Just start running away. The seat of comparison is the seat of the proud. They compare. Every little opportunity, they don't let you savor your small victories. Thank God for David. If not be God, where help David? David will die, go forget. King Goliath finished. They started singing. Women joined them. Because the Bible took note of it. Why did I even say women join? It was a mistake. It all started so. So last ladies 1,000. David has ladies 10,000. So last ladies 1,000. David has ladies 10,000. David. David, we know. Amen. They never allowed David to enjoy the victory. No, be careful the kind of praise singers you have around you. Some praise singers are tools of the enemy to attract the venom of the wicked. Also, Satan is just using them to stir up more anger. Thank God David had the Spirit of God in him. That thing would have affected him. But David was a man that chose to be humble, and that was why God found David worthy to be the model from which Jesus would spring up from. It was a true prototype of humility. He never allowed the praise to enter his head. He honored Saul even to his death. That's humility. That's humility. Truly humble people, they can, they, in fact, scripture says, before honor is humility. So that's a benefit. One, they get lifted up. Two, they lift others up. You didn't get that? One, they get what? Lifted up. No, the easiest people to lift up are humble people. Now, let me give you one reason. One of the reasons is that when you lift a humble person up, he will lift you up too. And he will lift others up. That's why Jesus said, if I be lifted, I will draw men to myself. So he used if, because his lifting was going to be the exclusive prerogative of the Father. So in Philippians, he now said, therefore, the Lord your God has what? Highly exalted him. Now look up. Nobody can pull Jesus down. Do you know why nobody can pull him down? God has lifted him. I pray for you that God will lift you up. You see, when you get lifted on the altar of humility, nobody. How many of you know proud people are always afraid of witchcraft? Proud people, they're always scared of everybody in the office. Always afraid. Glory to God. So one of the benefits of humility is that you will be lifted up and you will lift others up. Let's see what God told Abraham after Abraham humbled himself to kill the child. Verse 16. And said, Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself have I sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. See what he said. Blessing, I will bless you. Multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. He said, your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. He said, in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Why? Because you have obeyed my voice. Listen, a natural organization, when you obey the voice of the leaders, they will promote you. In spiritual organizations, when you follow the voice of your leaders, you'll be elevated. In the court of heaven, when you follow the instructions of God, you'll be elevated. So allow me to round up by saying, the easiest path to lifting is humility. And that's the verse we read in 1 Peter 5, verse 5. He said, humble yourself under the mighty hands of God. In due time, he will lift you. To be humble is to be polite. To be humble is not to be arrogant. To be humble is not to be rebellious. He said, do not remove the ancient landmark. You see, believers, even when everybody in the organization gather up to revolt against the authority and you are an employee there, be careful. Let others go and do it. One of the fruits of the Spirit is gentleness. Be gentle. You know, sometimes people say some things in an organization and the bosses are not angry. But when they hear that you that everybody is calling pastor, you are very loud at it. How many of you have observed that? That's what will irritate the boss more. Because he expects that as a believer, you will understand the place of submission. The Bible says Jesus learned obedience by the things he suffered. There were two times that Jesus humbled himself. Hello, how many of you know that? Jesus humbled himself how many times? Twice. The first level of humility was when he chose to put on a human body. I mean, that's the highest level of humility at that point. To put on human body. Then the second level, according to that Philippians 2, was when he humbled himself to the what? To the death on the cross. It was a shameful death. He could have just slept and not woke up. He would have fulfilled his assignment. But scripture said he died a victim death. He wore, you know, most of those pictures you see, they just cover his panther with it. It's because they don't want to show nude. That's why they do it like that. Jesus was hung naked. He was shamed. I mean, he expressed his nothingness. That's the height of humility. And that's where God wants us to go. Truly humble people, they don't have shame. They don't have anything they are covering. Pride, most times, is what makes cookiness. True humility is selflessness. True humility is depravity. The Bible says he endured it. Humility is a decision you make, a state of heart you wear, and a posture you carry. Let's stand up on our feet. Pride is a sinker. When we come back on Thursday, as we begin to round up the series, I'll show you 15 valid marks of the humble. How you can cultivate true humility. How many of you know it's possible? You can really be humble. It is learned. It is learned. It's learned. There's something I saw here. Let me read it. Now, when we are not humble, we easily compare God's power to our feeling of powerlessness and problems. We become too self-focused on the weaknesses. We now look inward, denying God's power in our lives. In the end, we begin to experience pride. Pride goes before destruction. Proverbs 16, verse 18. Now, while humility goes to the one who overcomes the destruction of the destroyer, a lack of prayer results in pride. On the other hand, answered prayers are a result of humility and patience. Pride cannot wait on God's answer. Pride presses ahead because it is too impatient. It is also caused by fear that its answer may not come, or even when it comes, it won't come the way we want. But humility believes that God is able to lead. His word can light the way to the victory. God supports a humble person when the person is waiting. Humility lives in the presence of the crucified Christ, crucified Jesus. Humility is a fruit of Jesus' love and love to him. You can't pray well if you have pride. You'll be impatient. King Saul, that was not the only time he ended his kingdom. Another time, even before that, he went and offered sacrifices. With all sincerity, Samuel delayed. But in all honesty, Saul never had the right. He took the right on himself. his kingdom ended. Place your hands on your head and say, Lord, support me to become humble. Support me to become humble. Help me to become humble. Help me. Help me to be humble. One of the ingredients of humility is patience. Humble people exhibit a high level of tolerance. They are not always quick to react. They suffer long. Because the most important thing is that they don't see themselves as significant. So ask the Lord to support you. Lord, don't allow my position to get over my head, to get into my head. Don't allow the blessings to get into my head. As you bless me with kids, don't allow me to look down on those that do not have kids. As you bless me with money, don't allow me to look down on those that don't have money. As you raise me up in ministry, don't allow me to look down on those that have not been raised. Pray one prayer. Don't allow me to curse the place of my blessing. Don't allow me to bite the fingers that fed me. Don't allow me to live the life of an ingrate. These are prayers that helps to keep us humble. Add this to it. Don't allow me to despise your instructions. Uproot from me every seed of rebellion. I don't want to be a rebel. Uproot from me every tendency of arrogance. Are we praying these prayers? You don't need to shout. These are personal declarations. Help me, Lord. Like Jesus, make me of low mind. Make me of lowly mind. Another virtue of humility is meekness, ability to learn. Help me to learn. May I not become hostile to corrections. May I not become resistive to counsels. I'm asking that you will help me. I don't want to waste like King Saul. I want to follow your word, word for word. Humble people, they follow instructions, word for word. Every line of the instructions gets their adherence. They don't replace the vision of the organization with their own vision. So on a bigger scale now, pray, Lord, help me to function. I wrote something down. Humble people are good team players. They know their place in the team and they take it. And they coordinate and cooperate with the others. Say, Lord, help me not to look down on the ability of others. I know you have given me some measure of grace. I know you have helped me with some privileges. Lord, help me not to overhype them. Help me not to allow my heart drift. Lord, I take a posture of humility. Help me to abide within the scope and confine of my calling. Bible says in Hebrews, no man take this honor to himself, except it be given like Aaron. Truly humble people know what to take and what not to take. Say, Lord, preserve my relevance with the fruit of humility. Among my friends and equals. See, there are two places where we truly will be tested. Apart from the spiritual test, physically, how do you respond when those that are lower than you and those that are your contemporaries begin to say some things? How do you handle status? Pray and say, Lord, as a citizen of your kingdom, don't allow status to get into my head. Help me to show gratitude. Let the spirit of humility overwhelm me. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we are free. Now, great grace abounds to you. Every word of instruction from this teaching will begin to reflect heavily in your life. Peradventure, there be any among us that desire lifting, the Lord will lift you up in due season. The Lord will save you from your destructions and your pains. There are some of you have shown despise in certain relationships. You have abused certain people, friends and family members, made statements that borders on pride, masking the Lord to show you mercy. You will not fall. The Lord will pick you up even as you have humbled yourself before Him. And the Lord will place you where you will never fall away from. In Jesus' name we pray.
We hope that you have been instructed and edified by the teaching from God's servant, Pastor Stephen Enoku. If you have need for more edifying teachings, you can download them from our ministry's website, www.kdclovemercy.com/sermons. For counseling, feedbacks, and should you want to support the ministry or be a partner to what the Lord is doing through us, send us a mail through kdclovemercychurch@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Keep taking charge.